the law.
The crowd of Donald Trump.
There's pressure on me.
He's got a tool for everything. Nail gun for nails, screwdriver for screws, and QuickBooks for finances. QuickBooks makes doing his tax return easy, automatically checking for the most common errors. Martin hardly has to lift a finger. Well, maybe one.
Visit quickbooks.co.uk for details. Intuit QuickBooks.
Eddie Mair on LBC.
With O2 Business, who offer more flexibility for your business future.
Every Friday on this programme, for some time, you've been able to enjoy at 10 to 5 Simon Marks's American Week. Now, because he lost a bet, Simon Marks's American Day.
Well, Eddie, all eyes in this election today are on the Sunshine State of Florida. You can place your bet on the outcome of the election there. It has often been a kingmaker in presidential elections past, and it is certainly true that any candidate who loses Florida has a much tougher road to travel if they want to win the keys to the Oval Office. While we saw polling today that shows nationally Joe Biden's lead over Donald Trump may actually have been extended to 12%, that was in a CNN survey. In Florida, the two men are definitely neck and neck. Donald Trump is in trouble there with the enormous community of retirees, pensioners, who think that he hasn't taken COVID-19 sufficiently seriously. After all, they are potentially on its front lines. And many of them are also turned off by his antics more generally on the campaign trail. They will be looking for him to offer today a more disciplined and focused critique of his rival Joe Biden than he offered to supporters in Arizona last night.
He is the worst candidate ever to run in the history of a presidential election. He is the worst. That's why there's tremendous pressure on me. I wish he was a good candidate. At least if you lost, you could say, hey, you lost to a good candidate. How the hell do you lose to a guy like this?
Now, indeed. Talk about a hostage to fortune. But while President Trump tries to persuade seniors in Florida to back him, Joe Biden's problems come in a different language. Hispanic and Latino voters in the state are not so sure about him. And today, my email box was suddenly filled with Joe Biden campaign emails written en español.
Trump dice que Joe Biden devastaría la economía. Pero fue Biden quien nos sacó de la recesión del 2008.
The Biden campaign is drenching the airwaves in Florida with Spanish language ads. That's one consequence of the Democrats having a much larger financial war chest than Donald Trump. We are still trying to figure out where all his money went under the stewardship of a now fired campaign manager, but its absence is giving the Democrats a chance to try and eke out a win.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
Seriously? I keep wondering if he actually tried to do that last bit in Spanish and binned it, or maybe he just never bothered. Anyway, the Democrat heads to Florida, aware that Donald Trump has good economic news to point to today. Record-breaking GDP numbers that show the economy recovering in the third quarter. A recovery the Democrats say is threatened by a different set of records. The number of new infections, hospitalizations, and deaths from COVID-19 being notched up all over the country. Joe Biden's message, you cannot separate economic recovery from the need to control the virus.
I'm not running on the false promise of being able to end this pandemic by flipping a switch. But what I can promise you is this. We will start on day one doing the right things. We'll let science drive our decisions. We will deal honestly with the American people. And we'll never, ever, ever quit.
The vice president voted yesterday in his home state of Delaware. Both candidates have now cast their ballots, joining the 75 million plus Americans who have decided to get it all over with ahead of the last day of voting next Tuesday. It'll be a bit like Christmas Eve shopping. Only the procrastinators will be showing up at the polling stations next Tuesday. In Arizona last night, President Trump found a friend.
4 years ago, I was honored to come to America to bring the Brexit message.
Nigel Farage proving that a friend in need is a friend indeed.
You can beat the establishment. And that is what Donald Trump did. He beat the pollsters. He beat the media. He beat all the predictions. And here's the worst bit. They've never forgiven him for it. They've never, ever forgiven him. They have spent 4 years trying to delegitimize him. 4 years of the Russia hoax. 4 years of a false impeachment. Most human beings under that barrage would have given up. This is the single most resilient and bravest person I have ever met in my life.
The crowd of Donald Trump loyalists loved it, but it is far from clear that there are many undecided voters across America who take their cue from the architect of Brexit. Yesterday's campaigning also saw another bit of yesterday's messaging. It came from Donald Trump on a campaign stop in Michigan.
Your husbands, they want to get back to work, right? They want to get back to work. We're getting your husbands back to work, and everybody wants it.
It did all sound a bit like a line from Mad Men, with a withering response this morning. The Democrat Speaker of the House of Representatives, Nancy Pelosi.
1 million women left the workplace. And what's the president's message to women? We're getting your husbands back to work. Well, factually, it isn't even true. But in addition to that, what decade is he living in? What century is he living in? So completely removed from the realities of life.
She said she is very confident that Joe Biden is on the brink of an historic victory, and she is, of course, aware that the polls show Donald Trump struggling to keep the support of suburban women in the swing states, and they were very much key to his victory 4 years ago. It's not just women voters who have been making political headlines here today.
White shirt, now red, my blood.
We learned this morning that Billie Eilish was blacklisted by the Trump administration, even though she did not write her hit single Bad Guy about the president. She was apparently pulled from a $250 million advertising campaign the government hoped would inspire people in the middle of the pandemic. A top Department of Homeland Security official decided that Ms. Eilish was not a Trump supporter and said she was destroying our country and everything that we care about. Not since the Beach Boys were blacklisted by Ronald Reagan's Interior Secretary and banned from playing the Washington Mall on Independence Day in 1983, have we seen anything like it?
I'm the bad guy.
And just to be clear, that's her singing it, Eddie, not me saying it.
Simon, before you go, a couple of things. Every night at 10 to 7, we've been delving into North Carolina. There's a brand new New York Times Siena College survey out which suggests that Joe Biden leads Donald Trump by 3 points in North Carolina, and the race for Senate has the Democrats slightly ahead too. The other thing we've been doing every night is we've been delving into your archive. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Your back catalogue
has been explored by us, and because we know what happened at the last election. There was a last minute surge in key areas for Donald Trump, and looking at the archive, you saw it, you called it, you said it was happening, and we'll hear the latest archive clip tonight. My question to you is there any sign of that kind of movement at this stage, this time?
Well, I think there's definitely a sign of Democratic nervousness. There's no question about that. I mean, if you look at North Carolina, Donald Trump won the state by more than 3.5 percentage points. Mitt Romney in 2012 won the state by 2 points. It has been neck and neck in North Carolina. So if indeed Joe Biden is seeing numbers moving in his direction, then that would be very welcome news for the Democrats. But equally, we heard within the last few minutes that later this week, tomorrow, in fact, given that's the last day of the week, Joe Biden will be traveling to Minnesota, which is very much a state that Democrats had assumed was going to be a safe victory for him. There'd been no suggestion that he was even going to bother to return there to campaign. But if you look at the numbers in Minnesota, definitely over the last few days, Donald Trump's campaign appears to have been making up some ground there. So very interesting that Joe Biden is choosing to head there. I mean, I think the difficulty more broadly, as in every American election, and we saw this starkly in 2016, you know, Hillary Clinton won nearly 3 million votes more than Donald Trump. She just won them in the wrong places. And the Electoral College, that extraordinary middleman between voters and the presidency, has the ability, even in 2020, again, to upend everything for the Democrats. It's their nightmare. They don't want complacency to be felt by any of their voters. They're buoyed by the enormous numbers of early voting that we have witnessed already. But as you can tell from Joe Biden's travel schedule, they're still a bit worried.
Simon Marks back with Simon Marks's American Week on this program tomorrow at 10 to 5. This is LBC. I'm Eddie Mayer.